Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, would you? As you and I are really already letting Jesus transform us, right? What an amazing time we've had already. This is really a great way to kind of wrap up our service. As, you know, we think about transformed by Christmas. That is the word that God has spoken to us that I'm bringing. And I'm going to examine transformation of different people that, if you will, Christmas touched. And you think about, you know, how Christmas can change us. And of course, when I say Christmas, what do I mean? Jesus. I want to transform your thought. Because so often when we say Christmas, I think there's a lot of other things that start popping into our head. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to work at mental discipline to think, Christmas? Oh, great. All the activities, I mean, a lot of fun stuff, busyness, being careful not to spend too much money, and all the emotions go with it. I am hoping that you and I, when we think Christmas, the next thought is Jesus. Because that's what Christmas is really about. And how Christmas transforms our lives. Look with me in verse 26, and we see the amazing transformation of Mary. And I thought, I want to start with Mary because I'm going to do a series for our women in February, and we're going to look at some of the great women of the Bible. And remember, we've done some stuff with seals. Well, we're going to do the same thing with the women. We're going to get together and spend 4 weeks looking at what God and how He uses some of the amazing women of Scripture. Mary was one of them. I mean, Mary is a pretty amazing person when you think about all that happened. It says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Look at that next statement. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Say that with me. "For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We've heard this story, and I would imagine almost something we anticipate, the reading of it at this time of the year, and it's good to remember. And I read this, and I thought, man, some things jumped out at me that are different that I wanted to share with you that are something I haven't really shared in the past. Now, first of all, this is an amazing moment, a miraculous moment. The conception of Jesus incarnate, human and divine, in the womb of a virgin. The seed of God entered Mary's womb, and she had never had sexual relationships. Nothing had happened. This, I want to be clear, in the day we live in, for every one of us, this was a miracle. There was no sexual intercourse. There was no insemination. There was nothing that happened. This was the miracle of God. An amazing miracle. Life entered the emptiness of her womb, and God's only begotten Son was born. We are transformed by Christmas because God births his life in the empty places of our lives. I want you and I to see that this miracle lays out a principle of what God does and how he transforms our lives on a regular, perhaps even daily basis. That in fact, if you and I would just allow the Word of God to be seated in our lives, then Christmas would transform us with his abundant life. Can you say amen to that? The world is playing with the concept of the Immaculate Conception, the idea of virginity. I've not watched the show, but it drew my attention. Jane the Virgin. Any of you heard of that new show out? The new show out, apparently. It caught my attention in a commercial, and I thought, okay, here we go again. Let's see if we can't somehow distort, neutralize, or play with just this miraculous kind of thing. And now on television is this new show that, now, I did my homework and found out this show is a remake that is being played and has been played worldwide. It's just now reaching America. And you think about it, it really was something very popular in some of the other South American countries, but when you look up, it's really, you can look it up yourself. It's been playing all across the world. Here's the purpose of it. It's a hardworking, religious, young Latino woman. This is what they publish in their site, whose family traditions and a vow to save her virginity until her marriage to a detective is shattered when a doctor mistakenly artificially inseminates her during a checkup. I'm not done yet. To make matters worse, the biological donor is a married man, a former playboy, and cancer survivor, who is not only the new owner of the hotel where Jane works, but also her former teenage crush. I think it's supposed to be a comedy. Sounds like a soap opera to me. I mean, you read this and you kind of go, oy vey. I mean, how ridiculous can, I mean, okay. But here it is once again, the attack against the things of what God has done that's so miraculous and holy and sacred. Now we're trying to play with it again. I don't know about you, but I see, and here's what, you know what really bothered me about this, as much as I'm glad to see at least you are saying you have not watched that show. That is exciting to me. I, as your pastor, am thrilled to see the lack of response to that. But here's what scares me. This is worldwide. And already there's a world that's been watching this for years. We're just now getting it because somehow they, and here's what they think, that the market in our country will give this kind of a show success, where it's already seen success elsewhere. Let's talk about Mary. The word tells us, and Mary even said, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Did that mean that Mary is someone to be worshipped? Let me answer that for you. No. Matter of fact, I believe, there's no doubt, if we were to talk to Mary, interview her, she would say, do not worship me. Let me tell you something. Here's how we know this to be true. Mary was at the cross, just like anyone else has to come to the cross. We need to go to the cross. Mary needed to go to the cross. Let me be clear. Mary needed to receive Jesus as her Savior. There's something more that, in the same way, Mary was in the upper room receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the same thing that we too receive the Holy Spirit. Mary was the mother of Jesus, and she was a believer, just like you and I are believers. She is not a God. She is not supernatural. She is not divine. She is human, as you and I are human. But what the Word of God is demonstrating to you and I is that Mary was the first one to have something amazing happen, and the only one that would ever see the miracle that took place. Let's make this clear. There would only be a one-time moment in all of history where this would happen and virgin birth would take place. There is no other possibility for that to happen. There would only be one Jesus. Can you say amen to that? And certainly, what an amazing uniqueness for Mary that, and that deserves to be noted. No question. It is amazing. It is special. It is significant. But I don't want to miss out on something that is missed by all of that. Because in this, there is a truth and a principle for you and I illustrated by what happens to Mary. Because God's speaking to us. Because he has a miracle for you. God has a miracle that he wants to bring in our lives. God wants you and I to be transformed by Christmas and letting that life come into us. She declared, man, I'm blessed. Now, if you look at that word means literally, I'm really happy. And what is she happy about? I'm happy that this unique, special, amazing, one-time miracle took place. But this doesn't mean now you worship me. And I think there's something else that we could miss. I want you to think about this. This is a little bit of a, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I was processing this. And I thought, well, we got to be real careful here. Because when you think of virginity, what do you think of? Obviously, you think of someone who has not had sex. You think of a sense of innocence and purity. And then here's the next thought. Oh, great. Pastor, God wants to do a miracle in my life, so I have to be perfect, pure, innocent, and I have to have all these things surrounding my life in order for a miracle to happen, because that seems to be the setup. Now, you think about that. If that were true, what does that mean? Then God's miracles are based upon work and performance. Last time I checked, God's miracles are based on his love and grace given to each of us. Can you say amen to that? I don't want you and I to make some mistake and miss out on the simple yet powerful message that comes to us that her virginity did not earn her the right for God to perform a miracle. It was important to the prophetic word, but it still was God's grace. It will always be God's grace. It was God who did a miracle in a young woman's life called Mary. Because if you and I are to think God is only going to love you and do a work in your life if you have it all together, then that's why I'm here today, is to transform that crazy notion. Because God wants to do a miracle in your life because he loves you and there's grace for you, and I've got good news. You don't have it all together. Can you say amen to that? I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? Praise God. You don't have to have it all together. Well, some of you really like that one. You're going, okay, we can stop now, Pastor. Let's go home. I don't have it all together, and that's good. I'm good to go. Praise God. So I want you to begin to see the message is about grace. God's grace for each of us. And that this whole idea of Mary's virginity doesn't represent something that's impossible for you. Rather, it represents something possible in you. You know, the messenger came and brought this amazing statement, you're going to bring forth a child. And of course, she said, how can this be? And I wonder how some of us would feel the same way. God comes and says, you know, I know there's this emptiness in your heart. I know that there is something that's missing in your life. I know that you're struggling with this thing and it seems like it's dead. And then God says, I'm going to bring forth life in that. I'm going to change that in you. I am going to do a miracle and I'm going to conceive in you something of life. I'm going to bring light where there's darkness. I am going to do something that you think is impossible. I want you and I to begin to realize God comes at this more any time of the year. But why not now? That God would bring a miracle into your life. There's something that is so powerful about what takes place here, the transformation of what can happen in your life. The angel greeted her. Look with me in verse 28, and you can see the initial greeting. Kind of walk through this a little bit. And the angel said, rejoice. And, you know, that was simply a way of expressing, I need your attention, Mary. And we're about to get into something pretty important here. And this isn't rejoice as an expression of worship. It was a greeting. It was, you come up to me and you say, Pastor, rejoice, I'm expecting good news from you. Can you say amen to that? That's all this is about. This is something where something good is about to be shared. And then she says, and then the angel says to Mary, you're highly favored. Do you know what's interesting? Now, I bet you don't know this, but you're going to know it. That Greek, if you will, the two words used there in the Greek is only used twice in the entire New Testament. Now, when you live my life, that is so exciting. Because you realize God does nothing by accident. When you discover, this is like uncovering a diamond in the middle of some mountain. And all of a sudden you uncover and you go, wow. And it's even more wow when you begin to realize what's happening here, because it's interesting, the word in the Greek translated highly favored is used here for Mary, and it's used in one other place, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And guess what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, who that verse is addressing? You. That is a diamond. Can you say amen to that? Because here I want you to see something. In the same way that the declaration of the angel to Mary is, you are highly favored, Mary, the word of God declares, you too are highly favored. Now, can you believe that? See, I want you to begin to see that the very same thing that's declared to Mary in this amazing moment is declared to each of us. That's how God sees you. God sees you. I mean, it's like if he were to come up to you right now and say, you know, how's it going? Amber, how you doing? God would say, Amber, you're highly favored. You are highly favored by God. He would declare that to every one of us here. Joanne, you're highly favored by God. And even your husband, too. Thank you for smiling. Can you see what God wants to do and communicate to us? Those are things, God, I thought about that. God, you see me in a similar light that you saw Mary. You see me as highly favored. I don't know about you, but that is terribly humbling. Because when I first saw this, that hit me, because sometimes I don't feel very highly favored. I don't always feel like I have anything that God would ever say, wow, you're highly favored. I mean, how many of us struggle with insecurities? We struggle with doubt. We struggle with, you know, an image that isn't all that great. We struggle with how we see ourselves. And then God comes and says, you know what? Here's how I see you. Highly favored. That ought to change what you see in the mirror. Matter of fact, you can write over your bathroom mirror, I am a highly favored one, because God said so. Amen? Amen. Doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. The angel said to her, the Lord's with you. And, of course, she was a little bit troubled by that. So I mean, again, this is one of those, this is the only place that you'll find that statement in the entire New Testament. And Mary basically was, and here's what you see in this. This is why we know it was an angel, because Mary is basically saying in response to what manner of greeting this was, it's like this guy is talking a different language. Basically, it's like Mary saying, you're not from around here, are you? And no, I'm not. And so there was even Mary knew something was different about what was going on, and that the message, and here's what God's saying, this message is from another world. This message is from heaven. This isn't just a common message. And I want you to understand, this is a message that isn't common even for us. This is a message from heaven to you. This is God. If you ever wanted a postcard, this is a postcard from heaven. And God is saying, rejoice! You are highly favored. And, of course, like any young girl, she was troubled, right, by the message. The word says she considered it. She's trying to figure it out. I mean, isn't that what we do? So I read that and I thought, oh, when are we going to finally look at? Let me give you a really straightforward biblical principle. You are not smarter than God. I know you're already highly favored. And I don't mean to demean anything, but I want to be clear. There isn't one person in this room that is smarter than God. And yet we act like we're smarter than God. Every one of us is guilty of challenging God and His work in our lives. Every one of us is guilty of trying to figure out, God, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing it this way? If it was up to me, you would have done it this way. I don't get this, God. Why have you waited so long? God, why are you still waiting? Right? And on it goes. That is the clear example of you and I thinking somehow we're smarter than God. So I want you to know something. Your intelligence is not enough. Your experience is not enough. All the things that you think you have is not enough. What you need is the grace of God. And that's exactly where Mary's going to end up. She's going to think about it, and basically Mary's going to come to the conclusion that you and I ought to come to. This is beyond me. I cannot figure this out. And where I ought to be is the same place that Mary ends up, humbled by the power and the majesty and the grace of God. And if you have lost that awe of God, then you need it back. Let Christmas transform you. There's no way that you're going to make it in your walk with Jesus if you don't remain humble and in awe of the Almighty God. Because the moment you think you can figure it out, you're in trouble. I love verse 30 as the angel says, don't be afraid. I mean, isn't that probably one of the first things that we feel is fear? A human emotion that causes us to go the wrong way. You know what the kind of fear that I see in this? It's not the fear like you're afraid of spiders or you're afraid of snakes or, you know, heights. You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid that God might not love us. We're afraid that God might not really do a real work. We're afraid that God really doesn't see us as highly favored. And a lot of you think, well, that was a really nice thing, Pastor. I don't believe that for half a second. And deep inside of you would be this idea, I'm afraid that that might not be true for me. See, that's transformation that needs to take place, because that's what the angel's addressing. Because Mary might be thinking, there's no way this could happen. How could this ever happen? How can this be? And she gets practical, since I don't know a man. How could this be? I mean, obviously, right? I haven't had relationships, and everyone knows you don't have a baby unless you have sexual intercourse. And I know I'm engaged, but I haven't done anything. Joseph and I have not come together. I have not known a man. This is impossible. Well, exactly, Mary. this isn't possible, and you're not going to figure it out because God's about to do something that's absolutely miraculous, because that's what God does. He takes the places in your life that you would say, you know what, God, this is impossible. There's no way I'm going to get through this. There's no way I'm going to recover from this. There's no way you're going to do this thing in my life. And God says, good, I'm glad you think that. Because I can take and do something out of nothing. Remember Genesis chapter 1? Oh, man, you got to reread that. Chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, the earth was formless, empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God did something out of nothing. That's the God we love and serve. That's the God that transforms you and I. The angel here is trying to explain to Mary, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Because the Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Now I want you to see this. That same statement parallels the statement of Genesis chapter 1. This is crazy, because the same power that produced light where there was darkness, the angel is saying that same power right now is going to produce life in you. Now here's how it's even crazier. And that same power will produce life in you. Now I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big thing when there's no possibility of light and all of a sudden God says, let there be light, and there's light. And that God is saying the same power that was at work in creation that took something out of nothing is the same power available to you right now today. Now, someone ought to get excited about that. You say amen to that? I mean, does that hit you like it hits me? I'm going, well, that's a different way of living now. That's a different way of thinking. I mean, that changes everything. And why haven't we been living that way? The angel assured to her and assures Mary and says, nothing is impossible with God, right? For with God, nothing is impossible. I do this. When I study, I read several translations and I do all that kind of stuff, right? I do that for you. And I was looking at the Amplified Bible. I got to read this to you. Same verse, but here's the Amplified Bible. You don't know what that is. You ought to get one. That Amplified takes the Greek and Hebrew and interweaves it into the scriptures that you're reading so you get more of a fuller context of what's being said without having to know Greek or Hebrew. Can you say amen to that? I think of all the years I studied Greek and all the years I studied Hebrew, and all I had to do was get the Amplified Bible. You know what's really worse? No kidding. I was so angry when the computer came out with the translations of the Greek and Hebrew. I sweated and suffered and went through trial and tribulation time and time again to know that stuff. And now all you got to do is push a button. That is not fair. Look at the Amplified Version. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment, for no word of God is without power. Can you say amen to that? When God speaks something, there is power in it. And Mary said, all of a sudden, she gets it. And here it is, verse 38, let it be to me according to your word. Will you come to that same conclusion? God, let it be to me according to your word and be transformed by Christmas. And let God birth life where you might feel there's emptiness. Where there's darkness, let God declare, let there be light. And here's what's going to happen. God will do that. Can you say amen to that, church?